Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where you read the scriptures and reflect on them with those from the past. Today, we're reading John 11, verses 17 to 29, and then through J.C. Rao's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 11, verses 17 to 29. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. This is the word of the Lord. There is a wonderful simplicity about this passage which is almost spoilt by any human exposition, yet it throws much light on the true character of Christ's people. The portraits of Christians in the Bible are faithful likenesses. They show us God's people just as they are. We learn, firstly, what a strange mixture of grace and weakness is to be found even in the hearts of true believers. We see this strikingly illustrated in the language used by Martha and Mary. Both these holy women had faith enough to say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Yet neither of them seems to have remembered that the death of Lazarus did not depend on Christ's absence, and that our Lord, had he thought fit, could have prevented his death with a word, without coming to Bethany. Martha had knowledge enough to say, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you," and, "I know that he will rise again at the last day," and, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." But even she could get no further. Her dim eyes and trembling hands could not grasp the great truth that he who stood before her had the keys of death and life, and that her master dwelt in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. She really did see, but only dimly. She knew, but only in part. She believed, but her faith was mixed with unbelief. Yet both Martha and Mary were genuine children of God and true Christians. These things are graciously written for our learning. It is good to remember what true Christians really are. Many and great are the mistakes into which people fall by forming a false judgment of the Christian's character. Many are the bitter things which people write against themselves by expecting to find in their hearts what cannot be found on this side of heaven. Let us settle it in our minds that believers on earth are not perfect angels, but only converted sinners. They are sinners renewed, changed, sanctified, but they are still sinners, and will be till they die. Like Martha and Mary, their faith is often entangled with much unbelief and their grace accompanied by weaknesses. Happy is the child of God who understands these things and has learned to judge rightly both themselves and others. Rarely, indeed, shall we find the believer who does not often need the prayer, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We learn, secondly, what need many believers have of clear views of Christ's person, role, and power. This is a point which is forcefully brought out in the well-known sentence which our Lord addressed to Martha. In reply to her vague and faltering expression of belief in the resurrection at the last day, he proclaims the glorious truth, "I am the resurrection and the life," meaning that he has the keys of life and death in his hands. And then he presses on her once more the lesson which she had doubtless often heard and never fully realized. "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. There is matter here which deserves the close consideration of all true Christians. Many of them complain of want of real comfort in their faith. They do not feel the inward peace which they desire. Let them know that vague and indefinite views of Christ are often the cause of all their perplexities. They must try to see more clearly the one on whom their faith rests. They must grasp more firmly his love and power towards those who believe and the riches he has laid up for them even now in this world. We are many of us sadly like Martha. A little general knowledge of Christ as the only Savior is often all that we possess, but the fullness that dwells in him, of his resurrection, his priesthood, his intercession, his unfailing compassion, we have tasted little or know nothing at all. They are things of which our Lord might well say to many, as he did to Martha, "Do you believe this?" We should be ashamed that we have named the name of Christ so long and yet know so little about him. What right have we to wonder that we feel so little real comfort in our Christianity? Our slight and imperfect knowledge of Christ is the true reason for our discomfort. In the past, we have been lazy students in Christ's school. Let the time to come find us more conscientious of trying to know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3:10. If true Christians would only strive, as Paul says, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, they would be amazed at the discoveries they would make. They would soon find, like Hagar, there are wells of water near them of which they had no knowledge. They would soon discover that there is more heaven to be enjoyed on earth than they had ever thought possible. The root of a happy Christian experience is a clear, distinct, and well-defined knowledge of Jesus Christ. More knowledge would have saved Martha many sighs and tears. Knowledge alone, if unsanctified, only puffs us up, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Yet without clear knowledge of Christ and all his roles, we cannot expect to be established in the faith and steady in the time of need. That is the end of Ryle's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today, and may the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for his glory. In considering what we've just heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, we see incredible faith on behalf of Martha, yet she only sees dimly, and that her faith is mixed with unbelief. Ryle points out that, on this side of heaven, a Christian is still only a converted sinner. Are we surprised when ourselves or others struggle with unbelief? Do we have on our lips, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief"? And second, Martha knew Lazarus would rise, and yet Jesus' response shows she needed to hear it afresh. Ryle points out that Martha could have been saved many sighs and tears if she would have had a clear understanding of Christ in his role and power. Do we find little comfort in our Christianity in the real issues of our lives? Could it be because we fail to connect our need to his provision and promises? Could we be accused of being lazy students in Christ's school and not pressing on to know Christ and the power of his resurrection?